Thank you again, church. Thank you for such a wonderful song service tonight. We're always thankful to be in the house of the Lord. As I've said earlier, and I just started my Facebook, be sure to pray for Nathaniel Hill and his family and that church in Florida. Do indeed continue to pray for them for a long time indeed. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 24. I've titled this message. We're preaching a few messages on this. Matthew 24. I've titled this Beware of Our Time, because I look at things and I could almost swear that we are in the last days. And my judgment goes upon the churches. Either the Lord's going to make a great revival in this world, or the churches, at least in America, are going to die out. They're just not growing. A lot of them's without pastors. Most of them are filled with older people, like myself. And most of the pastors are up there, pretty good age. So, and there is still a falling away, which I also believe is no sign of the last days. A lot of people put a lot of signs in the last days that shouldn't be there, like wars and rumors of wars. I grew up hearing those, that's not a sign of time. The Lord says it isn't. And his word. So we'll get to that. But I believe we are in the last days. I hope we are. I hope Jesus comes soon. The sooner the better for me. If you'll turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 24, we preached on this last week, our first message. This is our second message. And I'm kind of slow at preaching to a lot of stuff because I enjoy preaching on it. I like to use a lot of scripture when I preach, because I think scripture preaches a lot better than I can. In verse 3, he said, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and many shall deceive, and they shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, for there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes, divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Many sorrows shall come after the Lord comes, because and in our day, many sorrows will come. But this chapter split up into a couple of things. And he splits it up in the question that was asked to him when his disciples came to him in verse 3. He said, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world. The Lord's coming is a two-phase coming. He will come before the tribulation and rapture out the church and the saints. The dead in Christ shall rise. At that time, the world will be vacated of all Christians. There will be no actual Christians. There are going to be a lot of counterfeit Christians, a lot of counterfeit churches. But the Christians and the real churches will be gone in the rapture. And then the tribulation and Armageddon and that will all happen. And then the Lord will come again in the latter part of Revelation. And this time he'll come on his white horse with a sword. He's going to reign over the world for 1,000 years. So a lot's going to happen in this chapter, and this chapter covers a lot of it, and both sides of it, up to the end of the world. And a lot of people confuse it because it's put together. It's kind of like in John 5, when the Lord talks about the lost and the saved being judged. They're happening at different times, but a lot of people put together and say, well, there's a general judgment. There's not a general judgment. We will be judged when Christ comes. The lost will be judged at the great white throne at the end of everything. It's pretty simple if you just learn to divide things in your mind and understand Jesus is talking about two different things here and not just one. So last week, we started out by looking at the verse 24, and we got down to, we were talking about the church and the warnings to the churches, and we went to Ephesians and talked about the perfecting of the saints in Ephesians 4, 12 through 16, what we read. Now, I read some of what Brother Oscar Mika said about perfecting of the saints. And then he says in Romans 14, verse 19, we had this last week, I'm going to go ahead and read it again. Says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. And then he goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 11, he says, wherefore comfort yourself together and edify one another, even also as you do. We had that last week. We were talking about the church taking care of itself. The church applying the church's needs. The church, whatever need, by helping one another. You can't have any division in the church. Anyone in the church that causes division is a problem. The church is a place of unity. It's a place of love. It's a place of edifying one another. Sometimes we have to do things we don't care to do, like expulsion or discipline of some sort, but we are to pick each other up, and we are to help each other along in the church. The end result of that is the perfecting of the saints. Now, I don't want to go back over that. But I do want to go to Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. The goal is to have the church that Satan cannot deceive. Satan will do anything he can to a Christian to hurt you. He hates you. His people hate you. His people in this world hate you. A lot of them are angels of Satan that comes in angels of light. You understand what I'm saying? They look like Christians. They act like Christians. They may even smell like a Christian, but they're not. They may have a great zeal for God. They might sacrifice everything they have, their time, their money, their properties. They might do all of that, but they're still not Christians. Anyone who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is not a Christian. But to us, Satan is our greatest adversary. And especially in these times, he's doing everything he can to destroy this world. He's doing everything he can to be anti-God. This is the reason transgenderism is so strong. This is the reason that perversionism is so strong in our school systems. This is the reason our government doesn't support anything godly. They support everything evil. I mean, when you have a shooting at a Christian school and they worry more about the transgenders than they do about the people that were shot, you got a problem. And the problem is they're Satan's people. So this is our battle in this time that we live in. We may come to a point we can no longer worship in this building. We may come to a point we may have to go totally underground. People are shooting churches up. People hate Christians so much, they want them dead. It's our job. And this is where a lot have failed. Is they have failed to exercise the powers of God to keep them strong. If you fail and fall to, if you fail to be strong and fall in this, you will fall. The church will fall. We cannot allow kinks in our armor. Personally, or the church. And the only way to keep both strong is for us to help each other stay strong. Look at verse 10. And I'm going to read a lot of this because not a lot of it needs to be read. I haven't read this in a long time. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's how you should be strong, folks. You're strong in the Lord. You're strong in the Lord. And all the power of his might. Use his might. Don't use yours. Use the Lord's might to keep yourself strong. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's today, folks. That's the time we're in right now. As a church, as individuals, we have to stand strong in the Lord, using the strength of God, that we are able to stand the wiles of the devil. We can't do it on our own. We have to do it in the strength of God. Because he says, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What is that? That's our own government. That's our own city, our own county, our own state, our own federal government. I'm not against the government, but I'm not going to bow down to their woke programs. I'm not going to accept transgenderism as a fact of life. I think it's perverted. And I think what they did to the former president of the United States of America is not anything America's ever done has been more of a grace than that, right? Disgrace than that right there. How dare they? Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, not some, not part of it, but every bit of it, that you may be able to withstand and the evil day. That's the only way you can stand, but we can't do it ourselves. Why? Why can't we do it ourselves? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why we can't do it ourselves. That's why we must lean upon the strength of God. That's why we have to keep our armor on. They're not part of the armor, but the whole armor. Just think of yourself. You remember back in the old days when they used to wear these old metal uniforms and they get in these sword fights? Imagine if you left your pants at home. What they going to do? They're going to cut your legs off, aren't they? You can leave them away to hurt you, and they're going to hurt you. So it said in verse 13, we'll just go back and read that. Wherefore take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth. The truth, and having your breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wickedness, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God, folks. which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Verse 19, listen to this closely. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought. You don't stop or down. You don't bring it, your tone down. You preach the word of God. It doesn't matter if they want to hear it. It don't matter if they laugh at you. It don't matter if they persecute you. It don't matter if they kill you. You died preaching the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of the Bible. And just because transgenderism, this woke stuff, and all this other madman stuff going on in our nation under this stupid president we have, doesn't mean that we have to put up with it. So they persecute us. They just charged our former president with 34 phony charges. They may charge me with some phony charges. I'm not going to shut up. And my brothers in the Lord is not going to shut up. My brothers and sisters around the world are not going to shut up. And we are not, as a church, going to shut up and cow down to these bunch of thugs. If we go down over it, we go down. We cannot allow ourselves to be deceived. It makes me sick when Christians tell me that maybe we don't need to do this. Maybe we don't need to be. Don't ever tell me that. You haven't, but I have been told that. We cannot lose what God has built. There may not be much left of it, but it's important what's here. We must protect our church in their deceitful times in these last days. We must, absolutely must, at all costs. If we have to join the multi-millions, tens of millions of Baptists that were slaughtered back in the dark ages and give our lives for the church, for the Lord, for the word of God, for the truth, for the righteousness of God, then that's what we do. Jesus gave it for us. Go back to Matthew 25, if you will. I mean, 24. Let's look at these deceivers. They're on every corner. They're on every TV. They're on every radio station. They're on every social network. They're everywhere. And they're right and you're wrong. That's the way the world sees it. They're right, you're wrong. We are horrible people because we did not accept abortion. We did not accept homosexuality. We did not accept transgenderism. We did not accept making our children into perverts. They do. I mean, they bring these transgender men in G-strings. You have to look that up if you don't know what G-string is. To lap dancing, you have to look that up if you don't know what it is. I'm not going to explain it all to you. Our children. Sick. Absolutely sick. And a lot of churches are accepting it. I've seen a church that had transgender pastor. And if you argue with them, the world's going to come down on top of you like a lead pipe. Look at Matthew 24, 20, and verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And say, and shall many deceive many. Not claiming to be Jesus, but to be the Messiah. Not claiming to be the Son of God, but the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One. They're coming. They're already here. Are they near? No. No. Go for it, John. No, they're not new. They've always been around. They were here after Jesus left. Deceivers. Claiming to be the Christ. Denying the Christ that is. Denying the Savior that is. Oh, he can't really save you. You got to work your way to heaven. How dare you believe that Jesus Christ is enough? They won't say those words, but that's what they're saying. Jesus just isn't enough. You need more. He can't give you eternal life. You got to earn it. You got to work for it. That's the reason the Lord said, come unto me, all you who labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, or it's easy. The true saint. The Antichrist, who they are, will also do this. In fact, this is the definition of the real Antichrist. You know, all the Antichrist, well, I'll get to that in just a minute. I got to find out. I don't get ahead of myself. Go to John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Lord said here in 1 John 2, 18, 19, little children, in the last times, as you have heard that Antichrist will come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that in the last times, verse 19, they went out from us, but they're not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. What's the Lord saying here? These people were in real churches. They worshiped and served in real churches, a lot of them. These Antichrists. But they separated from the real churches. And they formed their own religion. Lord said they would in Romans 1:25, didn't he? He said they would separate from us. He said they would create their own religion and they would worship the creature more than the creator. And that's exactly what they do, isn't it? What's works? Works is working yourself. Works is getting yourself to heaven. You don't need Jesus. All he did for you was to forgive your past sins. You don't need him anymore. You have to work your way to heaven. You have to live by the law that you cannot live by. You have to live a sinless life, which you cannot do. If Jesus forgave all of our sins today, we would sin within a minute or two later. These people don't give any thought. They just teach things they don't know nothing about as fact. And a lot of them poured out of Baptist churches. But they're not of us, are they? This is the reason when people leave, go into different denominations, I have to wonder if they know the Lord. I mean, I'm real with you. Because the Lord just said, if they're true, they won't leave. Oh, I know people left. Well, you may know some lost people left. I'm just saying what God said. Don't ever bicker against the Word of God. So, what is an antichrist? The Greek defines one as an opponent of the Messiah. The Lord said of them, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They teach and sound like us. But they are not. They do not teach the same doctrines. They'll lie to you and tell you they didn't. I had Mormons one day to come up on my porch, knock on my door with a little fancy little shirt on, tied. Want to hand me that move chair that they have. I can't remember what it is. I ain't had one so long. I guess they quit. I don't know. And I used to come all the time. But they hand me their little chair and I tell them, no, thank you. I'm a Baptist. Oh, we're the same as Baptists. We believe the same thing. Well, I'm here to tell you, I know a little bit about Mormons, babe, not much, and it's nothing like a Baptist, okay? There are miles and miles of difference. But that's their lies. They lie. All of them lie. They lie about all the time. Go to John 15, if you will. So they teach and they sound like us, but they're not of us. Some of them have left from us, became something different. They do not teach the same doctrines we teach. Look here at John 15. I love John 15. I preached on this before. I won't preach on it again someday. Every branch, verse 2, John 15, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch he beareth, that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and that it may bring out more fruit. Now, what's that mean? The Lord cuts them back, and then they sprout out with more fruit. When my wife was still upset with me, I pruned back her rose bushes. One of them is bringing roses, the other isn't yet. She thinks I heard it. It will. Because you prune things back, right? These trees out here will bring limbs again someday, soon. You got to give things time. And the Lord prunes us back like that so that we'll bring more fruit. Because if we're not bearing fruit, the Lord just wants to whack us down, doesn't he? What use are we to the Lord? I mean, if these bushes we planted out here by the side, we went up here to this landscaping place, Rebecca and I did, and got two what we thought was going to be real beautiful flowers put up there. The one Frank, the one I had up, passed away on us. Then that deep snowstorm we had. So we got some more, and we said, we need something that will withstand the winter. Okay, well, yeah, these are good. Go ahead and buy them. Well, if you look down lately, they're dead in the door now. And I went up there the other day, we bought some more plants, and I said, well, what happened to our plants? Y'all said, she said, well, we had that, remember a couple weeks ago we had that cold spell? I said, yeah, I got real cold, whatever it was, a few weeks back. I said, yeah, I remember that. She said, that was a shock to them. They probably died. I said, well, so much for making it through the winter, huh? But anyway, that's what happens, isn't it? So what good are they right now? Besides sitting there laying there looking dead, they need to be pulled up going away, don't they? That's what the Lord does, isn't it? What good are we if we're not producing fruits? A lot of Christians need to remember that and think about it. What good are you to the Lord if you're not producing fruit? Let's finish this point, and we'll pick up with our second next week. We started early, so I'm gonna end a little early. You will go to Acts chapter 15. See where I'm at right here. Oh yeah, I got all this to go. So we'll go to Acts chapter 15. Now, I wish a lot of Christians would think about that. You know, when people leave the church and they fail to go to church, they're not just hurting themselves. They're hurting the church. People that are members of this church not here tonight are hurting the church. They're hurting themselves, but they're hurting. You know, the Lord assembled the church together as a unity. As a unit. To be in unity. He likens it up to the body of Christ metaphorically. So it has arms, legs, fingers, toes, body parts. It's a body. It's supposed to be metaphorically the body of Christ. Not literally, but metaphorically the body of Christ. What it represents. Every different church is a body of Christ. Whatever body part you are, if you're not here, that body part's missing. It don't matter if you're a toe, a finger. You don't think your fingers are valuable? You know, we don't miss things until we miss it, right? You chop your finger off and you're going to miss that finger when you go to pick things up. It's hard for the church to be strong if all the members not here to feed out the word of God and learn our responsibility to the Lord. Acts chapter 15, verse 24. I'll end with this scripture. I told you I'd get you out early tonight because we started early. In Acts chapter 15, verse 24, for as much as ye have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Oh, wow. So much for works, huh? That's what he's talking about, folks. Circumcision is a work. Keeping the law is a work. We can't do it. Even as strong Christians, might even say the devout Christians, the strongest out there, we cannot keep the law. We are sinners saved by grace. And after we're saved by grace, we are still sinners, but not the same. Our sins have been paid for. Thank God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.